The church began in the summer of 1958 as a Bible study group under the leadership of Chet Joines and Blaine Vannoy. They rented a vacant schoolhouse here on Muddy Creek Forks Road from Paul Hively and began to meet for worship in November of 1958 with 12 people. On June 20th of 1959, they formally organized as the Mount Zion Baptist Church of Brogue, Pennsylvania. The old schoolhouse and adjoining property was purchased in January of 1963, and by 1964, of May 1964, they broke ground for a new building constructed mostly by members and friends. At the first service in that building on January 31st, 1965, 103 people attended. Brogue, Red Lion, Felton, Windsor, Fawn Grove, Ayrville, Collinsville, Delta, Crayley, New Bridgeville, Dallastown, and other areas have benefited from a church that has stood as a pillar and ground of the truth from our passage we learned this morning. And so today I want to preach tonight, this morning, on the thought, my need for the local church. We're in a series on growing in grace. We learned last time we preached through this series, or on this series, of developing a right appetite for God's word. This morning, I want to preach on my need for the local church. Have you ever thought of what a house would be like without supports and pillars? Just drive around the area and look at homes that have pillars maybe on the front of the homes, or look around in a basement where there might be a steel beam or a wood beam that's a supporting piece to that home. Take away those supports, and what do you have? You don't have a house that stands. Brethren, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you could picture the world as the house today, and if you could picture the church as the pillar and the ground of the truth, and you take away the churches, the Bible-believing churches of our day, and what you're taking away is the support structure, you're taking away the important beams that uphold a society, the local church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, according to the Scriptures. That is absolute truth. That is truth that's consistent with an unchangeable God and the unchangeable words of God found in His Word. When we're speaking of truth, we're speaking of truth that doesn't change. It's not adaptable to certain cultures. We don't adapt to a culture and change the truth. Truth remains constant. Absolute truth doesn't change. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Truth is defined in a person according to John 1, verse number 14. And the Word, Jesus Christ, was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the personification of truth. Everything that you find in Jesus Christ is truth. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, what's the next words? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when we're speaking of the church this morning, being the pillar and the ground of the truth, we have to understand not only what is truth, but we have to understand what is a church. Is the building, the edifice, the pillar and the ground of the truth? Oh no, it's the people that are the pillar and ground of the truth. It's a called out group of assembled, baptized believers that stand and live out the truth of the Word of God, that are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who is the truth according to the Scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 14, the Bible says, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. And my friend, we're living in that day when truth has fallen in the streets. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Are we not living in a day where truth is under attack? Where good is called evil and evil is called good, and truth is being swept away in the streets. But thank God He established the local church to be the pillar and the ground of the truth when all else is shifting. My need for a local church is that it's a pillar and ground of truth in my life. A pillar is a large column used to support a building. the church, the local Bible-believing church, is to be a support, is to be a defense of biblical truth. It's the church's responsibility to proclaim it, to sound it forth from its people and defend the doctrinal truths that are found in the Word of God. It's the church's responsibility to support the biblical standards and practices and lifestyle of a biblical Christian that's committed to the principles of God's Word. May I make note this morning, the Bible does not say that the church is the truth, but it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And that's a big difference. With Roman Catholicism, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that the church is the truth. Whatever the church dictates is the truth. No, we have the written Word of God that is the truth, that it's unchangeable. That's why this book's under attack, folks. That's why people want to change the words of this book. That's why they want to water it down. That's why they want to question whether or not it still deals with homosexuality. That's why they want to go after it. Because if they can eradicate, if they can erase, if they can trample on this unchanging truth, then the local church has nothing to hold on to. We have nothing to support. We have nothing to defend. But thank God the Word of God stands. And it has for 2,000 years. And because of it, we as a Bible-believing church, as a group of believers, can support it. We can live it. We can defend it. We can proclaim it. That's the responsibility of the local church. By the way, when a church fails to uphold and defend and preach the truths of Scripture, such as biblical salvation through Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary, it's no longer a church. It may call itself a church, but it's no longer a pillar and ground of truth. It is erring in doctrine. A church that is erring in doctrine is not a church because it's not defending the scriptural truths that we find in the Word of God. And so we need to understand that when a church fails to teach and defend the doctrine of Christ, it's no longer a church. When a church fails to uphold a biblical view of marriage and sanctity of life, kiss it goodbye as far as it being a pillar and a ground for the truth. It's no longer that. It's no longer a biblical church. When a church is driven by entertainment rather than holiness, and the object is to attract the masses rather than to preach against sin, it's lost the direction that it should have. It's lost being the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's what a church is to do. It's lost its distinctiveness. When a church joins the sinking sands of confusion and confusing people with watered-down versions of the Bible and seeks to please everyone by trying to make everyone comfortable, it's lost being the pillar and the ground of the truth. Truth offends. Truth cuts. Truth convicts. Truth divides. That's what truth does. And the Bible says, as Paul wrote to young Timothy, he says there's something you've got to understand about the local church. And that is this. It's the pillar and it's the ground of the truth. It's what's to support. It's what's to defend. It's what's to help people grow in the truth of God's Word. Paul asked this question in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know that the truth can create enemies? You know the truth can put you on the opposite fence of somebody else? But the church is still the pillar and ground of the truth. That's its responsibility. That's the way God designed it. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When people walk into this building with this people, they ought not to walk into this building and see very little difference between the theater in York County and the church. It ought to be a holy people. We ought to be a peculiar people. They ought to notice something different. They ought to notice that truth is lifted up. Error is exposed. Sin is preached against. Why? Because the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. There are three metaphors for the church. One is a building. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And so he's speaking of the people, but he's speaking that we are built together. We are forged together in a local church. We are a body. The second metaphor is a body. We see that in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We are a body. We're different members of the body as believers. And we're there to complement each other and work together for the cause of glorifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means to give the right opinion of. As a body, as an individual member of this local body, you were created in Christ Jesus to give the right opinion of Him as part of the church. It's noted as a house of God in our text, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Look at the scripture, if you will. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Here the implication is one of family. The church is a place, it's a people that you can be a part of. It's a family. It's not just an institution. It's not just an organization. It's not a club. The church is more than a service that you attend 2 hours on Sunday. A Christian without a commitment to a local church is like an orphan without a home. It's an oxymoron in our New Testament scriptures. We're to be committed. It's like a brick that's sitting on the side when it could be used as part of a building. It's like an organ of the body that's detached from the body. That's a Christian that has weak or little or no commitment to a local church. The metaphors of the scripture speak to us about commitment. And so briefly this morning, I want to show you why I need the local church and the truth that it proclaims. Number one, I need it because it's necessary for my worship. John chapter 4 and verse number 24, if you would. John chapter 4 and verse number 24. I cannot worship God in the midst of doctrinal error. Because worship that is acceptable by the Lord is worship that is governed by truth. And so the Bible says here in John chapter 4 and verse number 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In verse number 23, it talks about God seeking after a true worshiper, indicating that there are false worshipers. And the Bible says here in verse number 24, those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. That's in a right attitude, in a right heart before God, and in truth. I've got to believe right about God to worship Him. He deserves worship. All the worship when we get together. That's why we stress with our musicians that when they play the instruments or they sing a song, we do everything to minimize attention to the person singing because they're not performing. We're not in a performance. We're in a mode of worship, and we want all attention to be directed to God, who is worthy of all of our attention and should get it all. He deserves the worship. Instead of worship teams and performers drawing attention with their antics and their vocal techniques. And brethren, that stuff's not coming in this church. The reason is we worship Him in spirit and we worship Him in truth. The early church got together, and part of their gathering was centered on worship. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse number 47. Did you ever think of this? When you miss a Bible-believing church service, you have just missed a God-given responsibility to worship Him. When you skip church, well, preacher, I got a family member that has a ball game today. Yeah, you just revealed the object of your worship. God deserves your worship on a Sunday. The first day of the week, God deserves your full attention. God deserves everything within you coming to church and saying, God, I'm gathering before You today with Your people to worship and to praise You. But when we fill those days with other things, listen to me, you're sounding a message as to what is your worship. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 47, it says, praising God. This was one of the things that they were doing when they were getting together. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God favored that church because of its worship. Because there were people that were serious about their worship before God. They didn't let things get in the way of it. They didn't plan things on the day when they got together to worship their God. They said, this is the Lord's day. Brethren, we're losing that in America. And we're losing that in our churches. And if we continue to lose it, we'll lose the pillar and the ground of the truth. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Not only do we worship Him in truth, but we worship Him in spirit. Did you know one of Satan's temptations of Christ was the object of his worship? Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Some worship their children instead of the Lord on Sundays. Their children's activities, their family outings, their family reunions all have greater value and worth than coming to church to worship God. You know why, brethren? We have a low view of worship. We don't understand that God, first of all, deserves it. He deserves our time. He secondly is pleased with it. When we come together and worship God, that's a pleasing thing to God. And when we don't, it doesn't please God. Some worship their property and taking care of it rather than the Lord. It's my only day, preacher, to get things done around the house. Then don't get them done. Get this done. Make sure you get your worship right. That's important. These may seem like innocent trade-offs. Everyone's doing it. But the object of some believers' worship is changing. And I want to remind you this morning, worship's a serious matter to your Lord and Savior. I'm sure glad He didn't substitute something for the cross on that day. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 7, Satan speaks to Christ, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Why do I need the local church, and why do you need the local church? Because it's necessary for my worship. It's necessary for your worship. Psalm 5:7 would be a great verse for you to commit to memory. It says this, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. There are two choices made in that verse. Number one is the choice to come. That's an important choice. I will come to your house. And number two, I will worship. Do you understand, believers, this morning you can come to this church every service and not worship? He said, in thy fear, I will worship. When there's a fear and a reverence of God, that's a heart of worship. That's a spirit of worship. When there's a humility in a person's heart as they come before the Lord and as we gather together to say, God, I need you. And God, what you've done for me in my life is so special, God, that I want to attribute worth and glory and praise to your name. God, I want to learn your word. God, I want you to hear my singing. I want you to be pleased with my giving on this day as I place it in the offering, giving it primarily to you. God, you are worthy of my worship. You and I need the local church because of worship. Number two, I need the local church because it's necessary for my sanctification. It's necessary for my sanctification. In verse number 15 of our text, Paul says, if I'm going to be with you long, Timothy, one of the things I'm going to teach is how to behave, particularly in the house of God. But one of the things that the church needs is biblical teaching and preaching so that a person can learn to set themselves more apart from the world and more unto our Lord. In Christ's prayer in John chapter 17, he was praying to God the Father, and he said this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Or in other words, the way a person becomes set apart from the world, that means you leave what you used to be, what you used to say, how you used to look. and you separate yourself unto the Lord. What is used to do that? According to the prayer of Christ, it's the truth. When I'm exposed to truth, it changes me. I want to give you some things that I'm thankful that I've been in a local church. Because as a child, I was made wise unto salvation by parents, but also by teachers in my local church. I'm thankful that they showed me how to behave as a young child. I'm thankful today that I learned the truth of set no wicked thing before mine eyes out of Job chapter 31. And that particular truth has impacted how I run my home as a father. What I allow to come into my home. That truth did some sanctifying work in my life when I was taught that principle. I'm so thankful for that. God used that. God used the preaching of truths like that to work in my life. I learned that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Along the way, somebody preached in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I learned that I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And it helped me to make some commitments as a child, like never put a cigarette to my lips. Like never pick up a can of beer or a bottle of alcohol or wine and put that wicked substance in my body. Made a decision to never put drugs in my veins and do harm to my body. I separated myself from the world and some of those things. Why? Because somebody took time to teach me truth. And I got a hold of that principle and it changed my life. And it helped me be more set apart unto the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I learned that the scriptures speak of singing to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Somebody taught me that there's the song of fools in the scripture. And somebody told me that there's music that sounds like noise. And then there's godly music that calms my soul and sets my focus on God. Because I've been taught these truths, I set apart these areas of my life. I set apart not to listen to rock and roll music. There's a day I made a decision. I'm not going after that filth. I set apart, I'm not going to listen to country music. It doesn't fit the biblical filter of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's what I'm supposed to be singing in my heart. I did away with that stuff. I did away with rap. I never got into it. I did away with Christian contemporary, all of which doesn't edify. I did away with and reject the new Christian music coming out that seeks to convert Christians to worldliness. Why? Because in my local church, I was taught some things. In my local church, there was a pillar and a ground that said, we're not going to give these things up. And brethren, may I sound the volume clear today, we're not going to give them up here. In Colossians 3:13, I learned the truth that I'm to forgive others as Christ forgave me, and it's a hard truth to practice sometimes, but you know what? It's a truth that's been given to me by the Word of God, and I've learned to forgive. Unlike the world that harbors everything against everybody and holds it and wants revenge, as a Christian, I've learned that I can forgive. Like Christ forgave. I've learned some truths. Have you learned some truths? Christian, I want to drive a point home here. What truth has been preached or taught from the Word of God in this Bible-believing church that you're not living? The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, not the preacher. Did you get that? He didn't write to Timothy and say, the pastor is the pillar and the ground of the truth. He said, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you're not living a truth that's being preached and it's clear from the Word of God, then I want you to understand something this morning, what's happening. You are not helping to reinforce the pillars. Instead, you are taking cracks at the pillars. We, as a local body, are the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so if we don't live it, it may not be here 10 years from now. Brethren, look around. It's happening all around. churches that used to be pillars and grounds of the truth in their areas are faltering. The pillars are being removed. The ground is quaking and cracking. It's on very unsure footing. And all it takes is for a people to hear the Word of God and not do it, and not live the doctrines that are proclaimed from the Word of God in a local church, and we'll lose being the pillar and the ground of the truth. I learned in Psalm 1 that a godly man can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I can't be down the way with sinners. I can't be around scornful people. I have to delight myself in the law of the Lord. I learned that. Somebody taught me that. I got that from a pulpit somewhere. And you know what? It registered. It resounded. It resonated in my heart. It changed my life. It changed my commitment. It got me into the Word of God where I delight in it today. Why did all that happen? Because there's a church that was the pillar and the ground of the truth. I need it for my sanctification. Lastly, I need it for my stability, and I close. The Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The only reason I can stand is if I can stand on truth. In Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's very interesting, verses 23 through 25, the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that hath promised. And it continues. That's not the end of the verse. The verse is a challenge for us to be stable, to be steadfast, to hold on to what we believe. But that's not the end of the verse. It continues on in verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And it's not done yet. Verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Do you realize what is a key to your stability as a Christian is the gathering together with God's people? He says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. And within that same context, he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because it's key to your stability. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain traditions of men, and not after Christ. But in that same context, it says, being rooted and built up as ye have been taught. A rooted plant is a stable plant. It's established. And may I say, a Christian that's been taught and is responding to biblical teaching and truth becomes a rooted Christian. They become established. They're stable. I need the local church for my sanctification. I need it for my worship. And I need it for stability. I don't get my teaching from the internet, neither should you. You ought not to be searching around everything, reading all kinds of people, finding, trying to figure out what you believe. If you have a local church, you come to church, you listen to the Bible. You go home, you search the Bible. What he said, is that true? Is that in the Bible? And if it's in the Bible, then I believe it. That's the New Testament pattern. That's what we find in the book of Acts. And if you'll stick with that pattern, you'll save yourself from some doctrinal error and confusion in your life. That's why we have a doctrinal statement here at our church. That's why every believer that comes in is taught the doctrinal statement. We walk through the doctrines with people. Why? Because they agreed in doctrine. The church has a doctrine. It's not what the church is the foundation of. The Bible's the foundation of it. But we as a church are a propagator of it. We're a proclaimer of it. We're a defender of it. We're a pillar and ground of the biblical truth that we find in the Scriptures. I need the local church. And so do you. God designed it for all of us.